morning. Please rise as you are able and join us as we call ourselves to worship. Followers of Jesus, by his cross we are redeemed from the futility of sin.
Hallelujah.
By his rising we are free from the fear of death.
Hallelujah.
By his love we are made new in the living and enduring word of God, whom we worship now.
Hallelujah. Let us offer our praise and thanksgiving to God.
Our hymn is number 108, Christ is Alive. When your soul is suffering in silence, call out to the Lord, our God, who heals our brokenness, lifts us up from the pit, and restores our lives. Let us together confess our sins. Almighty God, our world is filled with corruption. Power disguises itself as truth. Conveniences masquerades as goodness. Selflessness, pleasures, innate love. We confess to you, our God, that we have been caught in the web of the world of sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit, save us from these deceptions and free us from our obedience, that we may see the joy of Jesus' resurrection and receive the promise of life. Followers of Jesus, God has promised salvation to us, to our children, and to all who are near and far. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please invite everyone to share this peace all around with a wave or nod.
Thank you.
be seated. Lord, you opened the meaning of the scriptures to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and set their hearts ablaze. By the power of your Spirit, kindle our hearts as we hear your word proclaimed, that we may receive with you joy. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14a and 32 through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. This Jesus God raised us up, and of that of all of us are aware of his witness, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstools.' Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowships and breaking of the bread and prayers.
Are there any young people who would like to join me up here at the front?
I'm going to sit down with you. Okay.
Thank you.
We are going backwards, not in time, but in the order of the books of the Bible. Last week we heard from Acts, which, as I mentioned, was written by Luke. Today we're going to hear directly from Luke. We're going to hear about the evening, the late afternoon of Resurrection Day. Listen now for God's word to God's people. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sights. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is God's word of hope for God's people. Thanks be to God. So I want you to imagine it's late in the day of resurrection. The women, as we heard, have shared their news of the empty tomb with the other followers of Jesus. But some of them had already packed up whatever they had carried into Jerusalem for the Passover, and they were returning home. But you know they carried another burden going back.
their broken hearts. Yes, the solace of home beckoned. The journey wasn't a long one, just 7 miles, just enough for them to review and reflect on all that had taken place while they were there. And so very, very much had happened. What had always been known as the Holy City was now burned into their memories as the City of Horrors. They had sung hosannas with the crowd as their teacher Jesus had entered that city. And they'd hoped he would restore everyday Hebrews to basic human dignity from the oppressive hardships they'd been living with. And they had hoped Jesus would be with them as they began to apply his lessons amidst the challenges these people faced. And they hoped his ways would be welcomed by not just the people, but their leaders too. Yet by the time they shared that last meal, the tone of their trip had shifted from joy to apprehension, and all too soon they hid in a secluded room while their dreams of a new way of life shattered around them. Going home seemed to be the best thing to do. Emmaus was just far enough away from Jerusalem to feel safe. Emmaus was just the place to forget about the pain. So they'd walked much of the 7 mile journey when a stranger came towards them and asked his question. And for a moment, the two were dumbstruck. They stopped walking and stood still, their broken hearts overflowing with grief. They had hoped for a future that could now never be. I wonder why they didn't recognize Jesus. Had he taken on a new body? Were they still in shock? Had holy scales like those who fell over Paul's eyes been placed over theirs? Or were they so disoriented, so sad, so angered, so betrayed that they couldn't see him clearly? I wonder, too, if we would have recognized him. Reciting the history of the last 3 days, Cleopas and his friend claimed their faith in Jesus. But they also remembered their astonishment over what the women had shared about their venture to the tomb. How could those women have seen the Master? For them, resurrection was hardly a possibility. Their voices were full of mourning. These men had hoped for so much, and now that hope was torn to shreds. They had hoped. Those words remind us of the moment Jesus' human grief spilled over at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus wept. The words speak of a future that cannot be, an exciting dream that didn't materialize, a faith-filled promise that seemed to be false. Without Jesus in their lives, the men felt lost, totally discouraged, forever disheartened. The future for which they had hoped now seemed closed off, irrelevant, dead. Throughout our life's journeys, it's not just the tragedy of what happened that hurts, but the gaping hole containing all that could have been, but now won't. We've all walked the road on which these two disciples now find themselves. We had hoped. to marry for the first time, or to remarry. We had hoped that we'd get to travel with loved ones when we retired. We had hoped for more children and young people in this sanctuary. We had hoped to hear that our brother's lymphoma was in remission. Nothing in life is more painful than dashed hopes. And so often we don't feel up to the task of confronting the darkness of life. So we choose to run towards the dim glow of safety. It's so much easier to close off our darkened hearts, turn away from disappointment, and return to the safety of our past, or even avoid our ill brother. Cleopas and the other disciple were overloaded mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They were leaving Jerusalem and its horrors behind. Yet when the stranger responds to their words, they listen closely to his voice. He repeats God's word and reminds them of who Jesus was in relation to the traditions of their faith. And as he speaks, they begin to connect with him, and they begin to reconnect with their hope. Little did they know that their Easter was beginning. Little did they know what was to be revealed that evening, or how they would respond to the stranger's words. Well, at this point, they had drawn close to home, but they yearned. They yearned to hear more from this stranger. As the shadows had grown long, the hospitable thing to do was to ask the traveler to share a meal and remain with them in the safety of their home. But making such an invitation is filled with risk. Who knows who is safe on the road? And yet the three of them had begun a relationship of trust and hope. And Jesus had taught them to offer hospitality to strangers. So the invitation was extended and accepted. And though they were hosting this man at their table, Jesus gracefully turned their roles around. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, just as had the master. Only then, through the action which remembered the Last Supper, did they recognize their Lord. They were no longer blinded with grief. Jesus had ministered to these heartbroken, hopeless disciples. He had invited them to speak about their experiences with their teacher and of the terror that they had withstood these last few days. Jesus had encouraged the two men to share what they knew and believed with him, to claim their faith. He gave them the opportunity to speak the truth of their pain, to help make sense of it all, to clamber through the rocks of heartbreak so they could see beyond what's just happened. And while walking together, a relationship had begun. Their voices of pain, their grief, their loss, began to move beyond the heartbreak that had left boulders in the path of their life's journey. In response, Jesus strengthened them first with God's word from scriptures, and then by sitting with them at table and sharing the holy meal. And in the clear light of Jesus' presence, their hope was restored, their faith was renewed. And then, just as suddenly as he had come into their lives, he disappeared from view. That would give a person pause. Was this to be another disappointment for them? Yet, as Jesus' words had swirled in their ears, something had changed. Were our hearts not burning within us? Through that conversation and that sacramental meal, Cleopas and his friend understood that they had received God's word in flesh and blood. They knew that their lives would never be the same. What was first revealed by the light of that resurrection morning had now been witnessed 7 miles away. They had experienced the risen Christ in person, face to face. And even though the men could no longer see him, Jesus' presence remained with them. The two travelers no longer felt drained of life. The Holy Spirit had rekindled their hearts. God's word and the gift of the holy meal illumined their blind eyes and renewed their faith. Their inner strength had returned. They no longer felt the need to wrap themselves in the comfort of home. And energized, they took off on a 7-mile run through the dangerous darkness of night to share the good news of their experience with the others. Can you imagine how their excitement and hope grew as they heard how Christ had appeared to Simon and the other followers? They had to be energized when they learned how the conversation and supper had been shared with Jesus. The Spirit was whirling and swirling between them all, drawing them further into community. Christ had risen and would be alive in their hearts forever. The chain around their hearts was broken. Their pain was gone. And now they wanted to sing alleluias from the hilltops. Now they knew they could apply his life lessons in service to people whose hearts hurt. Now they would tell the world of the hope that he embodied. My friends, no matter what we grieve over, be it the loss of a marriage to divorce, or a child striking out in her career and leaving home, or that our congregation is no longer what it once was, our first inclination is to go back to the quiet safety of home and forget the pain. Taking care of oneself in troubled times is important. It is life-giving, no question. But often, it's then, in the terrible times, that we most hunger to talk with Jesus about our troubles and to hear the wisdom of his heart in return. And I especially believe that that's when we can become like Cleopas and the other disciple and be transformed, be strengthened, renewed by God's word. For through our baptisms, we have been called to life eternal and to live out the word of God by revealing the presence of Jesus who is in our hearts to the world. And we are to do this even when we face the most painful of times. Yes, Cleopas and that other disciple wanted to grieve and rest. Yet the Holy Spirit had other plans for them. The season of Easter is, like the season of spring, a time of renewal. And I pray that we will open our hearts to the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, which whirls amongst us and between us and rekindles our hearts and our eyes. And yes, gives renewed energy to live into Christ's message of hope. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 324. Open my eyes that I may see.
Please join me in our affirmation of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed, can be found on page 14 of the traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Resurrecting God, you created life and called it good, and even though we proceed to tear it all apart, you still love us. You sent us Jesus to guide us into the life you intended us to share with the world. More amazingly, when we chose to put him to death, you chose to resurrect him to new life. You made this known to disciples on the road to Emmaus and set their hearts afire. And now, amidst the beauty of spring, when new life rises up abundantly, you make him known to us so that we might remember that our Lord has risen indeed. Hear us now as we lift up to you the concerns of our hearts, that all people in the world might feel the presence of Christ's love for them in their times of need. We pray for the church, especially our Methodist brothers and sisters who seem to be torn apart in schism over issues only you alone can mend. Guide their hearts towards your desire for us all and help them find new ways to serve as Jesus would serve. We pray for the governments of the world and their leaders that they may resist sin's corruption and serve the common good. We especially lift up leaders in Sudan who in their desire for power are threatening the lives of so very, very many. O Lord, how can we be anything other than grateful for the beauty of this earth, the beauty that you, in your goodness, have created? Dogwoods dot the hillsides, tiny buds threaten to blossom and cast a glowing green haze across the hillsides. Birds herald the good news that life has been renewed, and the peepers proclaim your glory. Oh God, we thank you for this gift of earth, and for the gift of all life upon it. And yet, O Lord, in our reach for goods to simplify our lives or have more and better things, we have caused landfills to overflow and unbreathable particles to fill the air. We have watched, wondering if climate change is really human-made or if the weather's pendulum is simply swinging back. Help us to become good stewards of the land no matter what. Help us to be good stewards of the rivers and the oceans so that all can continue to enjoy the abundance of your good creation. Now we pray too for the people of Syria who still huddle in hovels months after the earthquake that devastated their lives, and for Argentinians who fear dengue fever that is carried by mosquitoes. We pray for those living in poverty in India, which is now the most densely populated country on the globe. And we pray for the poor of our country, the stranger up the road who has lost everything and has nowhere to turn. Help us offer the same hospitality the first disciples offered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We pray for the sick, especially Jim, whose pain has increased, and Dave, whose symptoms do not seem to recede, and Dora, and Merle, and Sally, and Pat, and Herb, and Betty, the Keyses, and yes, the Sayers, and all those we hold silently in our hearts. We pray, too, for those in distress. Help them find healing for their pain and be restored to life's fullness. And Lord, we pray for ourselves as your reformed and Presbyterian body here in Zanesville. Illumine us, renew our faith, and give us strength. Energize us so we may serve you in ways we have yet to imagine. For we want to be your good and faithful servants our whole lives long. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the gift of our lives together and the lives with families who love us and laugh with us. Bless them. Bless this world. And now hear us pray all in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
Please join me in singing hymn number 399, We Walk by Faith.
I would like to invite Corey Sidwell forward, as well as her father and her mother, if she can get up here. Come on. We're just going to stay up here. Today's a special day. For today is the last day that Corey's going to worship with us officially. Corey is moving out into the world in her career and moving to Nashville. Yeah, Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, big day, big time for the Sidwells. Last ones fly in the nest. I learned of this morning and thought, you know, we need to bless her on her way. She has been a good and faithful servant among us in the name of Christ. So hear now these words. In baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ put his name on you, Corey, and received you into the church. We have rejoiced to welcome you into our fellowship in the gospel. In this community of faith, you have been nurtured. And as you have heard the good news of God's saving love, you have been nourished at Christ's table and sent out to be Christ's witness in the world. God has blessed you and made you a blessing in our life together. Corey, you have deepened our joy and lightened our sorrow. We will miss your love and support, yet we rejoice that you will now bless others as you have blessed us. Let us all pray together. Faithful God, keep, preserve, and protect Corey Sidwell all of her days. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may she be the salt of the earth and light for the world. Lead her into new ministries, secure in the faith that binds us forever in the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Go in peace in the name of Christ. Don't forget there is celebration of octogenarians and golden couples waiting for us. Let us share in fellowship, but hear these words of blessing first. Go in the name of Christ, Christ the Lord, who has risen indeed. We have all seen his glory. He has illumined our hearts. Our spirits are re-energized. So go now and proclaim his good news in word and in deed to all, with all you meet. Go now, but go knowing that you never go alone. For the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with you all, now and forever. Amen and amen. Sister, she's my big sis. Well, she'll be glad to see me, but it's not. Kidneys, her liver, and her heart. 73. They're getting the pathology back. They have a suspicion that, and it does not sound like cancer, but. Peace, it's good to see you. Thank you. We'll see you when I come back. Service until I watch Mindy crying. She's up there crying and singing, and I'm like, no.